can we argue against same-sex marriage without using the Bible? And what happens when you get fired for opposing same-sex marriage? We'll talk about it with our guest today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what do you do? You're a vendor, you're working with a leading company, you're doing leadership seminars, leadership training, you're a highly respected, highly regarded, successful as a vendor, highly rated in what you're doing, and then someone who happens to be homosexual, someone working in the company, finds out that you've written a book called Correct But Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. Someone finds out you've written a book against same-sex marriage, and next thing, you are fired. Well, it happened to my guest, Dr. Frank Turek. We're going to talk about his book. It's a marvelous book. It's a clear-headed book. It's concise. It's just what we need to be able to talk intelligently to people about the meaning of marriage, the importance of marriage, without even using the scriptures, why same-sex marriage is wrong. We'll talk about his own experience being fired just because he wrote this book, didn't bring it into the workplace, didn't discuss it, was just doing leadership seminars, but you're not even allowed to hold these particular views. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have a question for me or for Frank Turek, we'll tell you later on in the program how to get hold of his book. Before Frank joins me, he's in the studio with me here in our hidden location somewhere outside of Charlotte. I want to read a poem. I've never read this before on the air or perhaps even in public. I wrote it a couple years ago in the midst of research for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and it's called Gay Rules. Gay Rules, meaning playing by gay rules. If you dare to differ with LGBT, it's important you know the rules, since taking issue with gays and lesbians is the territory of fools. If truth is your weapon and you plan to use proven facts as your guise, our reply will be swift and consistent. What you're saying is nothing but lies. And no matter how gracious your tone may be and no matter what you state, with a unified voice we'll portray you as a bigot full of hate. Should you make the claim that you're losing your rights to an activist agenda, we'll help you realize all your fears with the government's passing of ENDA. And if as a minister you claim that we're restricting your freedom of speech, we'll work with the courts to silence you, putting limits on what you can preach. And for those who parade around with the bogus title ex-gay, we'll brand you suppressed homosexuals who deceive the public for pay. What you really need is re-education, beginning with our special parlance. So those who accept our ways alone, we commend with that lovely word, tolerance. And those who see all differences with gays as nothing less than abusive, we reward for their exclusivity with that wonderful term, inclusive. And those who claim our flamboyant folks are practicing perversity are reminded that we're criticism-free under the rubric of diversity. And last but not least, we'll give you a term that to us has become so dear. It's the new word for cool, for hip, for chic. It's that transform word called queer. Yes, we've won the semantic battle, and even the media's come our way. So if you want to stay in the game, it's by gay rules you'll have to play. With that poem, first time you'd probably be introduced with a poem. Frank Turek, thanks so much for joining us today.
Mike, that is a brilliant poem. That's the first I've heard it. And it's true. The people who say they're fighting for tolerance are the most intolerant people out there.
And you've lived through this now firsthand. We're going to talk about your experience when we come back on the other side of the break. But just in 30 seconds, why did you engage in this issue? You've been an apologist, college campuses, atheism, evolution. Why this issue?
Well, I just saw too many people inarticulate in the public square trying to give reasons why they're for or against this particular issue, same-sex marriage and homosexuality in particular. And I just decided that I think we can make a case without using the Bible, just natural law, good common sense, good social reasons to be for natural marriage and to be against same-sex marriage. And I even argue same-sex marriage would hurt people who say they're homosexuals.
Got it. All right, so friends, we're going to take this up, but first, you're going to hear Frank's own story, his own odyssey, when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I've got a dear friend, one of my favorite guests, great author, apologist, debater, Dr. Frank Turek, author of a number of books. The one we're going to talk about today, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. It's Wednesday on The Line of Fire, which means we focus in particular on moral and cultural issues. And with the issues that are being talked about day and night now, including our president just moments ago in a press conference today, this is something we need to understand. The question is, while we hold to what we do based on biblical reasons, we hold to what we do based on our own experience, can we frame arguments for the general culture and society in succinct and clear ways so that people will understand what marriage is about, the beauty of marriage, the power of marriage, and why same-sex marriage is not marriage? 866-34-TRUTH to get into the conversation, 866-348-7884. Before we get into that, though, Frank, let's talk about your recent experience. It's been written up now on Town Hall. We've got a link on our website, AskDrBrown.org, the Line of Fire website. Tell us what happened, what you were doing for Cisco, major, well-known company, what you were doing and what happened and what you've been told flat out happened.
Well, since 1993, when my family and I moved to Charlotte to attend seminary, I've been doing leadership programs and team building programs for large companies around the country, even though I now spend most of my time doing I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist seminars on college campuses. That money that I earned at these companies really helped put us through college or put us through seminary and help send my kids to college. And I'd been working with Cisco since 2008 and doing leadership programs and got very good reviews, by the way.
You've spoken to our students and in seminars for us, and Frank is a terrific communicator, clear, concise, enjoyable to listen to, really breaks things down in the way it's understandable. So this was nothing religious. You were just doing leadership seminars that were highly rated.
Yes.
At Cisco.
And what happened was just earlier this year, 2011, a homosexual manager at Cisco Googled me after he had taken my class and found out that I'd written the book,
he think of your class?
He thought the class was excellent. In fact, he commented it was excellent. Yet he said that I didn't live up to Cisco values, and so he called the HR director there in his division to have me fired, and I was fired within hours. And the lady who fired me never even spoke to me about it. She just had me fired. And so I was gone right in the middle of a leadership program that I was conducting for about 200 managers. In fact, we had 10 8-hour sessions scheduled, and I just completed the 8th session when they fired me.
So 80% done with.
Yep.
This 10 8-hour sessions, not a syllable that you said, no comments in the midst of it, no gay bashing,
no. I wouldn't do that anyway.
Well, of course. Yeah. You would, but I'm just saying this for the benefit.
Right.
of people who don't know.
Right.
No, there's more to the story.
Yeah.
You were there, you know the story, and
mm-hmm.
you're a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to do leadership training.
Sure.
Right. Okay. So the values that you allegedly went against, because you were a vendor and not a Cisco employee, there's less recourse that you would.
Sure.
Have in this. But what values did you violate?
Well, in the name of inclusion and diversity, I guess I violated one of their values, and that is you can't have a view opposite to the pro-same-sex marriage view. So what happened here
was... this was not in the seminar.
I know it wasn't in the seminar, and this is the danger. This is why Christians and conservatives... I mean, you can be an atheist and be against same-sex marriage. If you are, you're in trouble in corporate America now. Now... the rest of the story is this. I wrote a letter to John Chambers, the CEO of Cisco, and I wrote it privately to him. And when I did not get an adequate response from his team, we decided to go public with it. That letter that I wrote John Chambers was pretty much taken by my friend Dr. Mike Adams, who wrote a column on it called The Cisco Kid. That's his title.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the June 16th, column that Mike writes on townhall.com. And we published that letter, and then we gave the rest of the story in the next two columns. Mike wrote the next two columns. And in the next two columns, you will read that I had a conversation with the head of Cisco's inclusion and diversity department. Her
mm-hmm.
name is Marilyn Nagel. And to her credit, Ms. Nagel said, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have fired you. But she gave no remedy. She just said, well, you can apply for more Cisco jobs.
Which Mike Adams said, in other words, you better hitting the lottery.
Yeah, a better chance of hitting the lottery without buying a ticket.
Right.
You know, she denied that their culture is tilted to the left at all. And my question to her was this, and this is a verbatim quote, Mike. This is a verbatim quote. I asked her on the phone, and in fact, Mike Adams was on the call with me, so he can verify this too. I said, how could a Cisco leader and a seasoned HR professional, like the lady who fired me, who had been with Cisco for 20 years, possibly think it is right to fire someone for his or her political or religious views on same-sex marriage unless your culture is decidedly tilted toward political correctness?
If you had written a book, Why Same-Sex Marriage is Wonderful, would that have violated the policy?
I asked her that question, too. She wouldn't answer. Her answer to the first question when I said, how could this possibly happen unless you're decidedly tilted left, was, well, we're not decidedly tilted left. We don't have a position on same-sex marriage. We welcome all points of views. In fact, she said, all points of views are represented here at Cisco. And so we uncovered, Mike, and this is all in Mike Adams's columns. One is called The Cisco Delusion of Diversity, and the second one is called Cisco Sinks to Dishonorable Low. We found that they, Cisco, just this past June 13th, so it's just a couple of weeks ago, invited two homosexual politicians, one from the Netherlands.
Right, gay activists.
Yeah,
right,
they're gay activists. One from the Netherlands who helped get same-sex marriage in place there in the Netherlands in 1993, and another one from California. And they had it at a forum hosted and emceed by a Cisco vice president. Mm-hmm. Nobody from the other side of the aisle on this, nobody with the opposing viewpoint. And they say that they don't take a position on this. This was done on the Cisco campus. Mm-hmm. It is on the Cisco website.
It's
you can
there.
See
Just
it now. It's
before.
Still there. They have pictures with this one politician behind signs that said no on Proposition 8. And this Miss Marilyn Nagel is telling me that they're not biased to the left. How can this be?
And what have you heard from conservatives just anecdotally working at Cisco?
Oh, well, conservatives who I know at Cisco feel like they're working in the Soviet Union. I mean, it's that totalitarian. Now, the folks in the ivory tower of inclusion and diversity will say, well, I wish they would come tell me. Oh, yeah, they're right. Going to come tell you that if they come out in any way against pro same-sex marriage views, they are going to be ostracized.
You know, a few years ago, Caribou Coffee started to sponsor the local gay pride event here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And it was called Charlotte Pride, then Pride Charlotte. And I wrote to them and said, you know, we're not asking to put Bibles out in your stores, Caribou Coffee, but this is a highly divisive issue in the society here. Why take a stand on this? Why not remain neutral in the culture wars? And they wrote back and said, no, we want to work with everyone in our community. It's important for us to show solidarity with everyone in our community. I said, okay, I'm a little disappointed with your answer. But that being the case, would you sponsor this wonderful family event we're having? It's going to celebrate marriage. It's going to celebrate teen abstinence. It's going to celebrate the sanctity of life beginning in the womb. We've got some leading businesses in the city that are already going to be sponsoring us. Would you sponsor the event? And they wrote back to me. And they said, we cannot work with you because we are inclusive.
All in the name of inclusion and
right.
diversity,
they said,
Mike.
You work with so-and-so, therefore we can't work with you because we're inclusive. And Dan Cathy, president and COO of Chick-fil-A, was going to be speaking recently at a Chamber of Commerce meeting in St. Louis, somewhere there and there. And gay activists protested. And they wrote back and said, we cannot let him speak because we are pro-diversity. So you're feeling the warmth of inclusion.
I am.
All right. Well, we come back. We'll talk about the implications of this and then get into the issue of marriage, the meaning of marriage. Look, there are reasons God established what he did. What I want to encourage every one of you to do is to get a copy of this book, which I'm holding in my hand, which I read, had the privilege of reading very, very carefully before it went out, and was so pleased with the clear thinking, the clear presentation, the solid documentation. So here's what we're going to do today. It's a 143-page book, and it's got a 20-plus page executive summary and then answering objections in the back. So it's so important to have this information. For your contribution of any size today, we will send you a copy of Correct, Not Politically Correct, by Frank Turek, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts everyone without even using the Bible to make the argument. So give us a call right now at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 for your contribution of any size whatsoever to Line of Fire today. We will send you as our thank you this book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. You can order his other books on Amazon and his website, Cross-Examined, with a D, crossexamined.org. We'll be back. We'll focus in on the meaning of marriage, and we'll talk about, just plainly, not hatefully, not angrily, plainly, why same-sex marriage hurts everyone. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the broadcast. My guest, Frank Turek, Dr. Frank Turek, author, apologist, and recently fired for opposing same-sex marriage in a book, Outside of the Workplace. We'll talk more about the freedoms of speech issues and things like that, and how we should address that. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question for Frank or for me, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You'll get links that are relevant to today's show. Frank, I got a call yesterday from a woman named Michelle in D.C. I was so pleased she called because she differed with me, and I'm delighted that people feel free to call in and differ with me about same-sex marriage, and made the claim that lesbians raising a child actually do better than heterosexual couples. Of course, that's a false statement in terms of what's been studied statistically and analyzed. But later in the show, a woman named Nancy from Bayshore, Long Island, called. I just want to play the beginning of this and then talk about the positive reason for marriage, why marriage exists. Why, in fact, does the government even get involved? Because basically our posture is stay out of my life. Mm-hmm. No one is inviting the government to come into their private lives more and more and more. And yet the government is involved in the issue of marriage. So the question is why? So this was Nancy's response to Michelle. Michelle, I hope you're listening today because Nancy wanted you to hear this. All right, Nancy in Bayshore, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I wanted to make a comment in regards to the young lady who just called from D.C., Michelle.
Yes.
I hear her, and I hear where she's coming from in terms of that perspective of separation of church and state and all of that. But a comment that she made about that lesbians, you know, are better parents than heterosexuals, I have to disagree with her because I was raised by lesbians. And not that they were horrible. I mean, I love my mother, and I call her Fifi. But one thing that was missing was I didn't learn about men and what a man is like. I didn't have a male figure in my life, and that caused a lot of problems for me as a young woman. And I was attracted to men, but I was attracting the wrong man because I didn't know what a man was like. So I think there's a deficiency there that two females, or you know, can't give it as the same thing as two men can't give to a female. You know, I just think that we're born with certain predispositions, and given the environment that we're in, can really be detrimental. So I just wanted to put that out there because I totally disagree with what she said.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Nancy had a lot more to say that was very important, Frank, and she did mention, I asked her what the attitude of the mothers were that she was raised by towards men. It's like, you don't need a man. You don't need a man. Mm. So that it's not uncommon for lesbians to not have the healthiest attitude or embracing attitude of men in their lives. But Frank, there's so many issues about marriage. Why does the government even care? Anyone has the right in our society today, two men, two women, to live together. Three men can live together. Right. They could go to some gay church or gay synagogue and have a blessing ceremony. Why does the government even care about marriage?
See, that's a great question, Dr. Brown, and too many people leave it out when they're talking about marriage. Many people seem to think, particularly on the other side of this issue, that marriage is just about coupling. And if we can get the government to recognize our couple, that will validate our relationship. And that's really what this is about, by the way. This has really little to do with marriage from the same-sex marriage perspective. I mean, from the homosexual activist perspective. Studies show that 5 to 6% of homosexuals who live in jurisdictions that have same-sex marriage get married, which means about 95% don't. So it's not really about marriage for them. It's about validation that comes from their ability to get married. But the real, with government sanction, the real reason we sanction marriage from a government perspective, leaving religion out of it, is the fact that the best form of government is the two-parent family. In other words, it's about procreation and bringing up kids in a nurturing environment, the best environment we can bring them up in. Now, some people will say, well, some heterosexual marriages don't have kids. Yes, that's true. But that's, number one, the exception rather than the rule. And number two, the only relationship that can have kids are heterosexual relationships. So it's really not about coupling. It's about procreation and bringing forth the next generation in the best environment possible. That's why it's very dangerous to say that same-sex relationships are also marriage when the only real marriage that can bring forth why the state endorses marriage to begin with is a heterosexual union. You're going to have people start to think more and more that marriage is just about coupling. And when that happens, people don't get married to have kids. They continue to have kids out of wedlock, and illegitimacy, crime, welfare, and all sorts of problems result from that.
So you're saying that when we think of, say, slippery slope, and this will lead to polygamy or incestuous marriages and all these arguments, which is a whole separate subject, there's a different kind of a slippery slope that we're really looking at, that the institution of marriage itself becomes devalued.
Yes, the law is a great teacher. Many people think whatever is legal is moral and whatever is illegal is immoral. And what's going to happen here is that the more you validate same-sex relationships on the same level you do heterosexual relationships, you're going to teach people that same-sex relationships are the same when everybody knows they're not. They're not the same biologically. They're not the same procreatively. They're not the same socially. They're not the same physically. They're not the same spiritually. They're not the same morally. They couldn't be more different. In fact, if they were the same, why would homosexual activists be arguing for same-sex marriage? They should just marry somebody of the opposite sex and be done with it. The reason they're arguing for same-sex marriage is because they know the relationships are different. If they're different, then why say they're the same?
Exactly. So the differences are such that the implications for society are massive.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason, I've heard one family activist put it like this, the reason that the government conveys benefits on marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on the government or the society.
Yes. When our marriages are strong, our country is strong. When our marriages are weak, our country is weak. And if you don't believe me, you can just look at the last 40 years of no-fault divorce, because actually a greater problem in our country is no-fault divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And heterosexuals have messed that up. But adding same-sex marriage to marriage itself, the institution of marriage, is not a way to fix it. Well, if you have one flat tire, you don't slash the other three.
Right.
Okay? Which is what same-sex marriage would do. See, no-fault divorce has led people to believe that divorce...
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to make this very clear to you. This is not a banned book, not yet, nor is my book A Queer Thing Happened to America banned yet. Well, certain places, I'm sure it's not welcome, to say the least. But Dr. Frank Turek's book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone, just because he wrote the book, he got fired from a job teaching leadership seminars at Cisco. You can read about it by going to our link, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Dr. Turek's in the studio with me right here. If you've got a question for him or me or like to challenge us in our position, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Lynn in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello? You're on the air. Well, we've lost Lynn. All right, Frank, let's get back to a fundamental point here. You gave a long list of ways that heterosexual marriage is different than same-sex marriage. Let's hear that. Let's break it down one at a time.
Well, it's different from the most basic. The most basic difference is biological. One can procreate, the other can't. I mean,
Was there anything more biologically in terms of the design, or is there anything negative about homosexual sex or two men? Were two men designed to have relationships the way a man and a woman are reliant?
Well, last I checked, no. maybe with the pliable natures that we think we have now, we think we can change the ultimate design, but we can't. No,
and health risks and things like that.
Yeah, the health risks are dramatic. Higher incidence of diseases, higher incidence of negative behavior. In fact, much to the point that even a pro-homosexual piece written out of Canada a few years ago pointed out that there's anywhere from an 8 to 20 year lifespan degradation.
Ooh, you don't want to say that, man, that you're a bigot the moment you speak those
this
words.
Is a pro-homosexual piece, Mike.
I'm just telling you,
it admits
we know. Look, you are not allowed to say there's anything negative.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If look, here are the rules.
Okay.
If young people are say young homosexuals, okay, mm-hmm. in schools, more suicide, more depression, more drug use, more sexual promiscuity.
You know what causes that?
It's our fault.
That's right.
It's our fault because we're homophobic.
No, that's not the case. Because in areas that have same-sex marriage in place for quite a while, and in areas that are very supportive of homosexuality in general, the problems persist, Mike.
Right. So biologically, a man and woman can procreate, a woman can nurse a child. I mean, there are just fundamental. Let's just remember that in the design. When I asked students at University of Central Florida in April, I said, if you believe that there's a God who designed us, did
yes.
he design men to be with men or women to be with women or men to be with women? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yes. And the other thing, this kind of backfires on the homosexual activists who say, well, I was born this way, to which we might say, first of all, how would you know that? How could you know you were born that way? And how could that happen? Because homosexuals, by definition, don't reproduce. But secondly, this is a design argument. They're saying we were designed with these desires. Well, if you're designed with those desires, you're also designed with a body. And at best, you could say you have a conflict. Mm. Your desires are telling you to do one thing, but your body's telling you to act sexually in another way. At best, you could say it's a wash. But you can't say that you were designed by God to act in a certain way when your biological machinery was designed to act in another way.
Right. So rather than say there's a conflict, now what we're doing in our society is redefining everything mm-hmm. around this conflict, and now even redefining marriage around this conflict as well, which is insanity.
And it's dangerous really long term, because we're talking about children here, and we're basically saying that children don't matter anymore.
Right. So we'll come back. We'll talk about kids and the importance of marriage as God instituted. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So someone says to you, don't I have the right to marry the one I love? What do you say to them? You know, a lot of Christians hear that and they're like, oh, I don't really have an answer. And people say, all we're looking for is equality. All we want is tolerance. And look, there was a time when a black man couldn't marry a white woman or vice versa in America. We had that wrong. We don't want to be on the wrong side of this issue. A lot of Christians don't know how to respond. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, wrote a very important book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, 143 pages. It's clear. It's concise. It includes an executive summary and answers to objections. It was this book that he wrote that got him fired from a key leadership training position as a vendor with Cisco Corporation. And we've talked about that earlier in the broadcast. You can get a copy of Frank's book for a donation of any size whatsoever to our ministry. We want to get these books to you, as many as possible. This is the best way for us to do it. So give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Donation of any size. Request the book by Frank Turek, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Frank, you said right before the break that we're saying that kids don't matter. And this is somehow all about the parents, and we love each other and so on. So someone hits you with this. We'll come back to the kids issue, but someone hits you with this line. I have the right to marry the one I love. And they're standing there, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, and they seem to dearly love each other. We've been together 20 years. Mm-hmm. How can you throw the Bible at me and be so intolerant? Why can't I marry the one I love?
First of all, I'm not throwing the Bible at you, number one. Number two, you can't marry just anybody you want. Suppose you love your mother, or you love your son, or you love three people and you want to marry them all. There are restrictions and on marriage. There's a definition of marriage. Look, homosexual activists don't believe that you can marry anybody you want. They don't believe in polygamous marriage. They don't believe in incestuous marriage. They put limits on marriage. Are they bigots because they put limits on marriage?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have the first of all, you don't have a right to marry anyone. None of us do. It's not a right to marry anyone and have the government sanction it. It's a privilege. And the fact that everybody can marry somebody qualified from the opposite sex shows that everybody already has equal rights. Homosexuals just don't like their choices, and they want the special right to marry somebody of the same sex. So everybody already has equal rights.
But if marriage is about love...
Isn't about love solely. Marriage is about bringing two people together to create a biological relationship that we hope is loving, that will bring forth children and bring forth the next generation in a very productive and constructive way. It is not meant just to recognize coupling. That is so often forgotten in our debate. Why not recognize any couple then as a married couple? Why not a father and a son? Why not a father and a mother? A mother and a son. Why do we restrict marriage promotion or marriage endorsement to man and women? Because that is the only couple that are not related that can bring forth the very purpose that a government endorses marriage: children and the future of society.
All right, let's try going back to the phones with Lynn in Houston, Texas. Are you there this time,
Hello?
Lynn? Yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
All right. Truett, you may have to help Lynn out there. We'll get to a few more calls in a moment. Maybe we're having a problem on our line or on their end. Not sure what's happening. So, Frank, you rudely, crudely said that marriage is not about just about love.
It's not.
But look, a man and a man can come together and get a woman artificially inseminated so they can reproduce and they can have kids. And though I know some homosexual men that must dearly love their child.
I'm not saying that homosexuals don't love children that they can create outside of the natural relationship. What I'm saying here is that from a national perspective, the only couple that can naturally bring forth children are a man and a woman, and they can get together. Two people can get together and commit themselves till death do them part. They don't need the government to endorse them. People can do that all the time. Why do they need the government to endorse them?
And why does the government get involved? It's for the sake of responsible procreation.
And responsible, not just procreation, but nurturing children. Because what happens when children aren't brought up in a biological family with a man and a woman, they tend, not always, but they tend to grow up with more problems, which results in more welfare expenditures and police protection costs from the state, because crime goes up, welfare goes up when kids tend to be born out of wedlock and raised outside of the traditional home. Now, that's not in all cases. That's just statistically.
Right. So we set limits, say, 70 miles an hour speed limit, mm-hmm. not because some people can't drive faster,
right?
But because to keep people safe, we have to, you work with the rule, not with the exception.
Yes.
So as a general rule, you've made this statement about healthy marriages being the best system mm-hmm. for the health of a nation. Expand that. We know there's some lousy heterosexual marriages. We know that there's some homosexual couples that are committed to each other. We know there's some heterosexuals who are bad parents. There might be two homosexual men who are great parents, even though they can't make up for the lack of a mom. So, but we're looking at the broad general trends. That's why society makes laws. So explain this concept to me.
Well, all right. Let's just quickly point out that children from homes, particularly that don't have a father. So this isn't just a homosexual issue. This is also from, say, it could be a heterosexual home without a father, are 7 times more likely to live in poverty. They're 6 times more likely to commit suicide. They're more than twice as likely to commit crime. They're more than twice as likely to become pregnant out of wedlock. They're worse off academically and socially, and they're worse off physically and emotionally when they reach adulthood. Now, I'm not beating anybody over the head with the Bible here. I'm just pointing out that from a societal perspective, the best relationship for children is a biological mother and a father in matrimony. And that should be the gold standard. And if we raise any other relationship and call it marriage to the same level as a biological mother and a father, we are creating trouble for ourselves long term.
Got it. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Sean in Middlesex, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon, Mr. Turk.
Hey, Middlesex, New Jersey. I'm originally from New Jersey. Forget about
Neptune. It. Neptune, yep.
That's right.
I met you at the New Jersey Apologetics Conference down in Long Branch.
Oh, yes, sir.
And hopefully we can get Michael down there next year, maybe.
All right, hey, we'll give it a shot.
You need to. Call Ray Siervo. Tell him to schedule him.
Yeah, I saw Ray on Saturday, yep.
Good.
My question is, do you think that maybe outside of votes, that the New York decision was more about money, because Bloomberg seemed almost giddy about the marriage licenses that New York would sell, inviting neighboring states to come to New York to get married. Do you think that may be the case?
Well, it might be part of it. I did read that Governor Cuomo, who's a Catholic, by the way, he had some very high-powered donors pledge six-figure donations to some Republican senators in case they ran into trouble with the conservatives by voting for same-sex marriage. So I think money certainly had a part in it. But it's like the don't ask, don't tell thing, which just came out yesterday. I don't know if you saw that the study that they said that the military was for a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was fraudulently put together, and it's not really true. Whenever it comes to an issue about homosexuality, truth goes out the window, and the political ends justify any means.
Yeah,
bottom
line on all of this, bottom line is that once people get this in their heads that this is now the new civil rights thing and mm-hmm. this is what they have to do, they feel they're campaigning that this is. I had a publisher of a newspaper tell me that although they seek to be unbiased and seek to just report the news, they feel almost this prophetic ethic. And it was the civil rights movement. Some of them felt this is something they have to champion.
Wait, let's stop right here. Now, I just can't deal with this anymore. Race is not a behavior. Homosexuality is a behavior.
But people are born that way.
You could be born. I could be born with the anti-gay gene. Does that mean gay bashing's okay for me?
But Frank, you're sounding so intolerant now.
Everybody is intolerant of something. And if we're not intolerant of things that hurt people, we're not loving.
Look, friends, the bottom line is we have been so brainwashed by a media culture out there, by a soundbite culture, and so few of us know how to think clearly about it. That's why I'm ribbing Frank here. Get his book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. For your donation of any size whatsoever to Line of Fire today, we will send you a copy, postage paid. correct, not politically correct, how same-sex marriage hurts anyone, clear, to the point, laid out for everyone to understand. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to get your book. 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire with my special guest, Dr. Frank Turek. Wednesday is our day to focus on moral, cultural issues. So we're talking about Frank's firing, completely unjustified firing from Cisco because he held to beliefs outside of the workplace that violated their inclusion and diversity unwritten policy. In other words, if you're not pro-homosexual in your position, you could be in big trouble. All through the book, among many others, Correct, Not Politically Correct. We'll tell you how you can get hold of that book in a moment. Go to AskDrBrown.org.
For simply expressing disagreement with the radical homosexual political agenda. Give our listeners some of these examples, and this is all in your book, by the way.
Sure thing. And Frank has his own weekly radio show on American Family Radio Network, so we're switching from interviewer to interviewee. Well, you know, Crystal Dixon is an African-American woman. She was Associate Vice President of Human Resources at University of Toledo. She sees an article, an editorial in her local newspaper comparing skin color with sexual orientation, a pro-homosexual editorial. And as a black woman, took exception to that, said, look, they are different, and gave the list of reasons, said we should love everyone, all of God's creation, but here are the differences. So she wrote a letter to the editor on her own time. They published it as an op-ed piece, and she was fired from her job at the university, and the university president upheld that. That does not reflect who they are. Her private time wrote an article.
In the name of inclusion and diversity.
In the name of course, okay. Inclusion and diversity. So you know, there's a case just happened in England, which is one of the more shocking ones. But there was a couple, a committed Christian couple. They provided foster care for numerous kids. They've adopted kids. Some gay activists said, no, this is a problem. If they adopt a kid because they're conservative Christians, they cannot affirm homosexuality in the home. They cannot celebrate homosexuality in the home. People might, quote, get infected. That's the word they use, infected with Christianity. So they took this couple to court, and the High Court of England said, correct, you can no longer adopt kids or provide foster care. It is extraordinary in terms of the thought police out there. An example after example. So I documented in a
Oh, you've got more. What about the photographer in New Mexico?
Well, yeah, Elaine Photography, a young Christian woman and her husband. She's got a photography business. Someone had asked her to shoot some horror show thing. She said, we're not into that. We don't do that. A lesbian couple said, hey, we're having a same-sex commitment ceremony. She politely declined. She's not going to photograph it. She has right to say. So she politely declines. They take her to court because there is anti-discrimination policy in New Mexico, including sexual orientation. She's found guilty. She has to pay fines. I mean, they could theoretically put her out of business. And the list goes on and on and on to the point. In my book, I even cite a Washington Post, liberal article, Washington Post from 2009, saying that religious rights are losing their battle to sexual violence.
By the way, if for no other reason, this is why Christians need to be involved in politics, because politically, our very ability to work in a harassment-free environment and to even have beliefs, either if they're from the Bible or just from natural law, or even if you're an atheist, our ability to do what we want to do is going to be taken away from us unless we're involved politically. We've got to be involved.
But Jesus was not.
Oh, he was so, Doctor.
Come on,
Doctor Mike.
Now he said his kingdom was not of this world. He didn't care about earthly politics.
Look, a friend of mine, Neil Mammon, wrote a book called "Jesus is Involved in Politics. Why Aren't You? Why Isn't Your Church?" Who did he go after the most? The Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the religious and political leaders of the day, and Jesus called them some pretty nasty things. Why? Because they were being hypocrites, and they weren't faithfully executing God's law. And he went after them. So Jesus certainly was involved in politics. And we have to be, if for no other reason, that we've got to maintain our religious rights to preach the gospel.
Got it. All right. Listen, friends. Frank has lived through this himself. Are you bitter and angry towards Cisco?
No. I actually like the company. The company. And by the way, this is not the food people. These are the network people, CISCO. There are some wonderful people at Cisco. Many of them are friends of mine. So I don't dislike the company. I just think that many people in the executive areas of Cisco are just misled, and they're hypocritical. They say they're inclusive and diverse when they really aren't. And what I want to do is just draw attention to it and hopefully get them to change their policies.
Right, because, look, a lot of innocent people are going to suffer.
Yeah.
The most intolerant spirit I've ever dealt with so far is that which claims to be the most tolerant. And when I launched my book speaking tour in conjunction with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I called it the Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity, for this very reason. Frank, what will people get out of your book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone?
They will get a reasoned case, hopefully written in a pretty winsome manner, on how to support natural marriage and to say that same-sex marriage will hurt everyone, including children, the institution of marriage, and even homosexuals themselves. We're not quoting Bible verses in there. We're simply giving a good reasoned case. It's a very short book. It's got an executive summary back there with some of the major arguments and some of the major counters to what the other side says about, you know, born this way and equal rights and discrimination and all that. So it's a very easily read book.
Right. And look, this is a generation that is very much a soundbite generation.
Yes.
And even though we're not going to answer everything in a cutesy little phrase, this is laid out in such a way that the ammunition of truth is there, written with grace. In fact, you even talk about losing a friend to AIDS. So it's written with grace. It's written with concern. And there is a reason, Frank, that in the history of the human race, basically marriage, as it's been known, has been the union of a man and a woman.
That's not bigotry, that's wisdom.
Right. There's we've got another hour we're going to spend together, so those that listen to us online, you catch the next hour. Those listening on your radios, by all means, go to our website later today, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. I've got some great quotes sent in by Marcus, who edits our Voice of Revolution magazine, about covenant and the importance of covenant. And marriage is the most fundamental covenant we make with a human being. We'll talk about that, cover some more bases in the next hour for those listening. And again, for everyone that'll be tuning out now, let me encourage you, write this number down or call the moment you have a free minute, 1-800-278-9978. That's to get a copy of Correct, Not Politically Correct. Get a copy for yourself so that you're really armed with truth, with wisdom, in terms of how to answer the many questions that are going to come up. You say, how much is it? Your gift of any size to the ministry today, and we'll send you, as our thank you, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Friends, my bottom line is simply this. God set things up in a way that was best for the human race. When he brought Adam and Eve together, there was something beautiful, something wonderful that he was producing. And it is out of that union that all other unions have come. Let us not tamper with what God has established. Can we argue against same-sex marriage without using the Bible? And what happens when you get fired for opposing same-sex marriage? We'll talk about it with our guest today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to what columnist Jeff Jacoby wrote. He said, when the Supreme Court ruled in June 1967 that Virginia's law penalizing interracial marriage could not stand, it was not changing the fundamental and enduring meaning of marriage. It was affirming it. It was upholding the integrity of marriage by protecting it from irrelevant and unconstitutional racial manipulation. Virginia had interfered with the core elements of marriage in order to promote white supremacy, a value completely alien to marriage. Marriage is designed to bring men and women together. Anti-miscegenation laws frustrated that design and could not stand. That is, laws that said a black man or woman could not marry a white man or a woman. Jeff Jacoby says same-sex marriage, too, interferes with the core elements of wedlock in order to advance an unrelated goal, the dignity and equality of gays and lesbians. Ooh, Jeff Jacoby is saying that same-sex marriage is on the wrong side of this issue. It's on the side of interfering with marriage. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, can outline that, can explain that, can give us further depth. Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The number to call if you'd like to ask me or my guest, Dr. Frank Turek, a question or would like to challenge us. If you differ with our beliefs, we will very gently and graciously have it out with you. Also, to get online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you'll find links that are relevant to today's broadcast as well. Okay. Frank Turek, you are an apologist. You travel around.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's not, for those who don't know what an apologist is, that is not what apologists do. They do not apologize. Uh-huh. They are defenders of the faith. You've got a busy schedule on college campuses teaching your I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist seminars. We've had you teach at FIRE. You've always been well-received. I thoroughly enjoy your presentations. I remember one night you were going through the evidence of God as creator, and it was just devastating amount of information. My son-in-law just said it was amazing. So he was listening to all the information presented. Now you get on this subject of same-sex marriage. You write a book about it. We'll talk about it later in the broadcast. You've gotten fired, as in F-I-R-E-D, fired from a job because of a book he wrote outside of the workplace that he didn't bring into the workplace. But you know this is controversial. Mm-hmm. You know this is a hot-button issue. You know you're going to lose money, not make money, when you take stands on this because they're so unpopular and controversial. And yet you felt it was important to write on this, to do the research, to put a book out, to even do seminars on it. Why? Why get involved?
Well, because marriage is the foundation of society, Mike. And if marriage is degraded to the point that we think marriage is just about coupling and not anymore about procreation or bringing up children, then our entire society is going to be hurt. Not only are children going to be hurt, but I even argue that homosexuals themselves will be hurt by the degradation of natural marriage.
You wrote this. We've just got 45 seconds before the break. Mm-hmm. You wrote this without quoting the Bible. You're a committed Christian man. Yeah. Why did you leave the Bible out of this book?
Because you don't need the Bible to show that men were made for women. And the other side won't even listen to the Bible, but maybe they'll listen to reason, just good reason. You don't have to have a Bible verse for everything in society.
Right. And of course, the wisdom of the word fills our lives, mm-hmm. and we rejoice in that. But when it comes to laws, we're not telling people, you must say marriage is the union of a man and woman because that's what it says. The Bible tells
me so. No, you
don't
have to do that. Natural law can tell you that, which comes from the same source, God. But it's self-evident that men were made for women.
So listen, we are all for quoting scripture. We're all for the power of the word, using the word of God. But we can also make our case, as I did when I debated it in April, that the reason same-sex marriage shouldn't be legalized is because it is not marriage. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the importance of covenant. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, author of a number of books, including Correct, Not Politically Correct, A Note of the Apologist. We'll talk to you about his firing over his religious views separate from the workplace a little bit later in the broadcast. Frank, thanks for joining with us.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here as always.
Where can people find out more about your ministry work?
Crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with the D on the end of it, .org. I co-wrote I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and we do a lot of college campuses, churches, and high schools to show young people why Christianity is true. Because as you know, Mike, 3 out of 4 young people walk away from the church once they leave the home. And one of the reasons they walk away is intellectually they don't know why Christianity is true. And so we try and show them why it's true.
And what can folks find on your website?
Oh, they're going to find videos. They're going to find blogs. They're going to find find articles. There's a lot of helpful resources and a lot of great links to other sites, too, that have great information.
All right. The issue of no-fault divorce mm-hmm. has been terribly destructive.
Yes.
I've said publicly that heterosexuals have done more to destroy marriage than any gay activists have done. That comes down to the marriage covenant, marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. There's a quote from Karl Barth, famous Swiss theologian, and he's talking about creation. Creation is the outward basis of the covenant, and the covenant is the inward basis of creation. And he says this, creation comes first in the series of works of the triune God and is thus the beginning of all the things distinct from him, God himself. Since it contains in itself the beginning of time, its historical reality eludes all historical observation account and can be expressed in the biblical creation narratives only in the form of pure saga. Okay, sounds a little technical. Let's keep going. But according to this witness, the purpose and therefore the meaning of creation is to make possible the history of God's covenant with man, which has its beginnings, its center, and its culmination in Jesus Christ. The history of this covenant is as much the goal of creation as creation itself in the beginning of this history. So he's saying you have God creating everything, even time itself, all reality, God creates, and he does this to unfold his covenant purposes. And we see the image of Jesus and the church, Jesus and his messianic bride, as a spiritual expression of the earthly covenant between a man and a woman. What is it that no-fault divorce has done to our concept of the marriage covenant?
Well, we take it to be just a contract now, no-fault divorce, and it's the only contract I know of, Mike, where the side that wants to violate the contract is given preference. I mean, if you want to get out of a marriage now, no-fault divorce means is that you want to break the contract, you can do it. Why? It's even less than a contract now, marriage is. Less than most legal contracts. If you and I have a contract over a business deal and I want to get out of it, the court doesn't side with me, right? But now, in marriage, if I'm married to somebody and I want to get out of it for whatever reason, the court allows me to do so. It's simply pointing out that marriage in our culture now, due to no-fault divorce, is deemed even less important than a business relationship.
Mm. So if I lease a car and I want out.
Forget about it.
All right.
You're going to pay, buddy.
Okay, let's up the ante here. I have a mortgage on a house, and I decide I just want out. There's some penalties with that.
Well, the Obama administration may give you some ways that you can stay in the house and not pay.
But aside from that, okay, we know there's some problems. You foreclose, bankruptcy, okay, other things like that. But we're just talking about a car or a house.
Right.
But when it comes to a relationship with a person, you're saying that's a lesser, it's a contract, it's not a covenant anymore.
Yeah, and the problem here is that the people that are hurt the most are children. When our marriages are strong, our country is strong.
No, we divorce for the good of it. Frank, you're getting all these facts wrong, man.
We
divorce, but it's better because we're having these conflicts all the time, you see?
Oh,
then it's better for the kids if we divorce,
well, you know
right?
what? Change your fighting habits before you change your spouse. How about that? Because the kids, the number one fear of children between the age of 5 and 17 is that their parents will get a divorce. That's the number one fear. And if you want to look at statistics and figure out how children fare when parents get divorced, I have them for you. In fact, it's in my book, Correct Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. Let's just talk about homes without a father. Fatherlessness is our biggest problem in America today, next to abortion. And abortion, we're actually killing people. In fatherless homes, we're creating an awful environment, typically, for children. Not to say that single moms can't do a good job on occasion. That's not my point. My point is
it's just harder for them.
It's harder. It's much harder. And this is what the evidence shows. The evidence shows that children from fatherless homes, Mike, are 7 times more likely to live in poverty, 6 times more likely to commit suicide, more than twice as likely to commit crime, more than twice as likely to become pregnant out of wedlock, worse off academically and socially, worse off even physically and emotionally when they reach adulthood. Do you know that 70% of our reform school attendees are from fatherless homes? Do you know that 72% of our adolescent murderers are from fatherless homes? Do you know that 90% of our runaways are from fatherless homes?
And what about the amount of kids under psychiatric care?
It's got to be exorbitant. I don't have specific stats on that.
Yeah, I've seen that as high as 85% come from fatherless homes. So that's telling us two things. The father is really important.
Yes.
and you pull the father out and their tragic consequences. Now, we'd have terrible stats on motherless homes, except for the most part, the mother's going to have the kids.
Yes.
So, okay. So then I have the solution. Two dads. That's like double the... Uh-huh. Double the good then.
Well, that would say that mothers mean nothing to kids. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, Mike, but was your mother different than your father when it came to parenting?
Yes, and my wife is different than me.
Yes.
And our daughters are different than their husbands.
And both are needed, let me put it this way. If you have both in a family, then you increase the chances the child is going to turn out better. If you don't have one or the other, you're going to have trouble.
So, statistically speaking,
not always, obviously.
Right, and just the very simple thing, okay, here's a girl being raised by two dads, and she starts to develop, she starts to grow into a young woman. You need a mom there.
Mm-hmm.
You need a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a boy going through certain aspects of life. He's got two moms. Even the idea that the kid grows up without seeing how a woman relates to a man relates to a woman, how they should treat each other. That never gets modeled. So the kids may do fine academically. They may do fine in other ways. But in terms of development as human beings and understanding, something's lacking. So if we think back to this covenant issue again, when we understand that marriage in most cases is also going to mean procreation and then children mm-hmm. coming on the scene. So the covenant becomes much more profound
yes.
because it's multi-generational.
Yeah, and if you want a strong society, you need to have strong marriages between men and women. And to equate a same-sex relationship to a man-woman relationship is going to degrade the notion of marriage in our minds because the law is a great teacher. We're going to think that marriage is just about coupling. It's not just about coupling. It's ultimately about children and the future of society. That's why you can never, ever say that a same-sex relationship is the same as a heterosexual relationship. It's not the same physically. It's not the same spiritually. It's not the same socially. It's not the same biologically. It's not the same morally. It's different in virtually every respect. In fact, that's why same-sex marriage advocates fight for it. They know that their relationships are different. If they weren't different, we could just tell them, well, why don't you just marry somebody the opposite sex? They say they can't marry somebody the opposite sex because they're attracted to somebody the same sex. Well, fine. If you're attracted to somebody the same sex, do what you want with them, but don't call it marriage. It's not marriage.
Right. And what we also have to think through is that in times past in different societies, homosexual practice was sometimes widely praised, was sometimes embraced. Mm-hmm. In certain parts of the Greek society, you'd had the mentoring relationship.
But there would be no society without heterosexual marriage.
Right, but they never thought of calling the homosexual relationships marriage. They didn't name them that or put them on an equal part. They were recognized in the society, and we would say it was a perversion. It was wrong, but they were recognized in the society, mm-hmm. especially the man-boy stuff. We'd say it's a perversion. And yet, they didn't think of saying, well, we want to call it marriage because there was a fundamental understanding of what marriage was. So we've eroded it so with no-fault divorce, with sex outside of marriage, the whole counterculture revolution, all the promiscuity and so on, everything that brought from the 60s till 2000, there's six times the amount of babies born out of wedlock. So marriage has been so deteriorated.
Which is why our society is in such trouble. And Mike, this is why you can't divorce the fiscal and the moral issues. They're connected. Why are we in fiscal trouble now? Because our society has become a bloated welfare state. Why? Because morally, we're not acting properly. We're not staying together in marriage. We're not taking care of our kids ourselves. We're not bringing them up right. We've inflated the entitlement society because we're acting immorally.
And the hypermaterialism. The negative side of the American dream,
mm-hmm.
and then the church gospel, it's all about me. It plays into this. All right, friends, I want to encourage every one of you to get a copy of Frank Turek's wonderful, clear manual, Correct, Not Politically Correct. It's 143 pages, which includes an executive summary and answering objections, meaning you can really use this very, very practically. And give it to friends who don't believe in the Bible because the Bible's not quoted in the book. For your donation of any size to help us with the Line of Fire broadcast, as our thank you, we'll send you a copy of Correct, Not Politically Correct. But you've got to give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, we'll send you as our thank you, Correct, Not Politically Correct, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. In our soundbite culture, we often don't know how to respond to pithy little statements, things that can, on the surface, sound powerful. And when people think in terms of soundbites, they often don't have the ability to really think things through. So what we have to do sometimes is have concise and clear answers that are well thought through. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, has done that in many different ways in terms of same-sex marriage issue with his book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Frank, great to have you with us.
Thanks,
in the studio.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
All right. And if you'd like to be, I'm already with a question for Frank, but if you'd like to call and disagree, I know it takes courage, but especially with two guys here. But if you'd like to disagree, I always like to get to your calls first. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can comment online on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Okay. Our president, for whom we pray, a few months back said that his administration would no longer defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, because he said that it is discriminatory. And today in a press conference in terms of the same-sex marriage issue, he's claimed his views on same-sex marriage are evolving. As I understand it, he's clearly been a proponent of same-sex marriage over the years. What's evolving is how much he'll speak about it openly and plainly, as I've read enough of his past views to satisfy me on that. He said something today when asked about same-sex marriage that we can't, quote, discriminate based on sexual orientation. Wow, that sounds very compelling to a lot of Americans because we don't like discrimination. And sexual orientation, I guess you're born that way. So that's just like being black or Hispanic or something. So how do we respond? Frank, you cannot discriminate based on sexual orientation.
Well, if you define sexual orientation as a feeling, then no, we don't discriminate against sexual orientation because people have certain feelings. But we do discriminate on the basis of behavior. That's what all laws do. They discriminate on the basis of behavior. And every law says one behavior is right and the opposite behavior is wrong. By the way, all laws legislate morality. That's what. That's
no,
what,
you can't. Frank,
that's what all laws do. Every law legislates a moral point of view. In fact, the whole same-sex marriage argument is supposed to be a moral point of view. You can't discriminate against us. We need equal rights. It's a moral position. They're all trying to legislate morality. The only question is whose morality. But go back to this issue of orientation. We don't discriminate on the basis of feelings, but we do discriminate on the basis of behaviors. Example. If sexual orientation, if we can't discriminate on sexual orientation, meaning that we can't discriminate against the behavior of homosexuality, can we discriminate against people who behave in other sexual ways? In other words, they have other sexual orientations. What about polygamy? What about incest? What about pedophilia? They're all sexual orientations. Oh, you say, oh, don't tell me that what I'm doing is the same as a pedophile. I'm not saying what you're doing is the same. What I'm saying is the justification you use is the same.
Right. I was born this way. I can't change.
Yeah, I was born with the anti-gay gene, so don't blame me for gay bashing.
Violent,
someone could
violent
say.
Violent gene. If I punch you in the face, I'm just acting out my natural orientation.
If we always discriminate on the basis of behavior, even homosexuals discriminate on the basis of behavior when it comes to marriage. They don't think any two people can get married. They don't think a mother and a son can get married, or a mother and a father, or a father and a son. They don't believe in incestuous marriage. They don't believe in polygamous marriage. Are they being bigots because of that? No. They're drawing lines and defining marriage because if you don't put lines or a definition on marriage, it's nothing. There has to be a definition. So we discriminate on the basis of behavior, not on the basis of how people feel.
All right. Let's ask a very fundamental question, and I've yet to hear a good answer from this from a gay activist or a proponent of same-sex marriage. Let's not even talk about same-sex marriage. Let's talk about something even more fundamental, that it's the union of two people. We would say it's the union of a man and a woman. Same-sex marriage proponents would say it's the union of two people. Why two? If it's not a man and a woman, why two?
Right. Well, let me ask you. You pointed out in your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. What do you say about that?
Yeah, look, the fact of the matter is that the only basis for there being two is the obvious, that it takes a man and a woman to procreate for the next generation, and that a man and a woman have this unique opposite thing that come together and make one whole. In fact, from a theological viewpoint, it's very profound. When God creates Adam, right, which is Adam, man, or mankind included, mm-hmm. within him, it says male and female, he created them. And this is when God says, let us make Adam in our image according to our likeness. So it is man and woman together as one that reflect the fullness of the image of God, which then becomes the basis for the image of Jesus and the church, the bride, coming together as one. So there is something that happens in the union of the two that is beyond biological, and that is beyond emotional, that is spiritual as well from a theological viewpoint. And it's the two together that express the fullness of the image of God. If you think of this, if you want to find out about who God is, right, expressed through a human being, right, outside of Jesus, who is the perfect God incarnate, mm-hmm. right, if you want to find out fully about the nature of God, you can't get it only from a man, and you can't get it only from, yes. a woman. Sometimes God relates his own behavior to a woman's behavior, and sometimes to a man's behavior, because it is the two together that reflect his fullness, and those two are rejoined in marriage, which is something extraordinarily sacred.
And even if you leave all the religion side out of it,
yep.
it's quite obvious that men were made for women, and they can only together bring forth children, as you said. It's not three people that does this. As you said, Mike, it's two. And children are the future of society. Well, they're society right now, actually, but even for the future. That's why we only recognize marriage between a man and a woman. And I'd like to say, you know, that Mike, that governments technically shouldn't be defining marriage. All government should be doing is recognizing marriage. Marriage is a given. It's just part of the natural. It's like recognizing gravity, right? Mm-hmm. We don't create gravity. We don't define gravity. We just recognize it. The same thing is true when it comes to a man and a woman. Because of what they do for society, we should just recognize that relationship is the only relationship that should be considered marriage, because it's the only relationship that can bring forth children and bring forth a future generation that will be a whole generation, a generation that will have fewer problems and be a generation that will be one that everyone can enjoy. Not, you know, we've been through it before, Mike. There's so many problems that come out of the broken family that if we don't support marriage between a man and a woman, our entire country is going to be degraded.
Yeah, friends, this issue is one that we simply cannot ignore, mm-hmm. which means we've got to focus on our own families, our own lives, our own marriages, and do whatever we can to honor the Lord with healthy, holy marriages, husbands loving wives, wives loving husbands, having an environment of love for these kids to be raised in with solid ethics behind it. It is for the future of our society of which we speak. Let me encourage every one of you, get your copy today of Frank Turek's book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. We want to get it to you the best way we can do it. Your gift of any size whatsoever, so whatever you're able to afford, we'll send this to you postage paid. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you can help us with a generous offering, great. That'll help others that aren't able. Correct, Not Politically Correct. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. We'll be back with the firing of Frank Turek.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is one thing. It's one thing for us to talk about what happens when you speak about controversial subjects these days, about the extreme intolerance, the extreme exclusivity of gay activists and often businesses today in the name of diversity, how there is a purging of views that differ. It's another thing when it happens to you. It has happened to my guest, Dr. Frank Turek, author with Norman Geisler of the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, noted apologist, campus lecturer, author of the book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. And it has actually hit him in a place where it hurts, because Dr. Turek has done leadership seminars, leadership training for years, highly rated, highly regarded, from a purely secular viewpoint for major companies in America. And some things happened recently that cost him his job. 866-34-TRUTH if you have a question for Dr. Turek or for myself. 866-348-7884. Online, go to askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You'll find relevant links as well. Frank, thanks so much for being with us today.
As always, Mike, a great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Before we get to some phone calls, beginning with someone who I believe wants to take issue with us, which we welcome, what happened to you at Cisco where you were working? How long have you been doing this? What were you doing there? And how in the world did you get fired? By the way, it's a joy to have somebody here that's been, I've been excommunicated for my religious beliefs, and I was fired one time, but not for religious beliefs, for other issues, but another stand perhaps. But man, it's great to have you with us, man. Well, we need to put this on your resume.
That's right. Yeah, it's a badge of honor, right? You always get more flack when you're over the target. The company was Cisco, CISCO, not the food company, but the computer networking people company. The internet people. And I'd been doing training for them since about 2008, mostly leadership training. And I was commissioned to do 10 8-hour sessions for about 200 managers just this past year.
So they didn't like the sessions, though?
They loved them. In fact, they kept hiring me back to do them again. So, and I had just completed the seventh out of, actually it turned out to be the eighth out of 10 sessions.
So this is each session is 8 hours.
Each session's 8 hours. Sometimes there were 2 4-hour sessions. And one of the participants in the session was a homosexual man who Googled me and found out that I had written this book. He Googled me after the class. I'd written this book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. And he didn't read the book. He just called HR and said, while I thought Turek's class was excellent, I don't think he lives up to Cisco values, so he needs to be fired. I was fired by a senior HR executive who had been with the company for more than 20 years. I was fired in a matter of hours.
So human resources, within hours, yeah, based on one complaining phone call, that outside of the workplace, you have a book opposing same-sex marriage,
yes,
gets you fired based on the inclusion and diversity.
Inclusion, problem? Yeah. In fact, the inclusion and diversity officer, Ms. Marilyn Nagel, said, oh, we don't discriminate at all. In fact, she later apologized for firing me, but she did nothing to try and remedy the situation. She said, well, you could apply for another job here at Cisco.
Right.
And Mike Adams, who wrote about this in his columns at townhall.com, said that Frank has a better chance of winning the lottery without buying a lottery ticket, by the way, than right, being rehired at Cisco.
Right. And by the way, for those listening, I had lunch with Frank before the broadcast today. And talking about this, I did not detect any bitterness, any anger from Frank. This is simply something that happened, and this is really persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he decided to go public with it after giving Cisco an opportunity to do what was right and respond properly. Your reason for going public is really to sound an alarm.
To sound an alarm so other Christians will stop hiding under their desks on this issue. In fact, you don't even have to be a Christian. You could be an atheist and say, I think marriage is best between a man and a woman for society. If you're an atheist, say this, you're going to be in trouble. So we need to have religious and political freedom in this country. Mike, this is America.
Right. Are religious freedoms under assault? It is the truth.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's a very interesting thing today when a football player like David Tyree with the miracle catch.
My favorite team.
Yeah, against the New England Patriots.
New York Giants.
Yeah, it makes, you know, it's a football hero in New York, and he gets up and says, you know, he's an athlete, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, yeah, you know, marriage is the union of a man and woman, and gets attacked for it. It's an extraordinary day in which we're living. My guest, Dr. Frank Turek, knows about this firsthand, having been fired from a job for purely discriminatory reasons, for holding to a view outside of the workplace that marriage is best being kept the way it's always been, which is the union of a man and woman. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can interact on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Frank Turek's website, cross-examined, with a D, cross-examined.org. Kurt in Billings, Montana, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Kurt.
Good.
Hello.
I'm a Christian agnostic, Christian atheist. I don't know, however you want to classify me. But I enjoy both of you guys. I followed you guys for quite some time. And, Frank, I talked to you several years ago. I called you at your office one time. We talked about your Richard Carrier debate for a couple hours. I don't know if you remember that. You probably don't. But anyway, with the homosexual gay marriage, I don't know what, you know, I don't have a major problem with. I don't think it should be on the top list of what Christians need to be focused on in society when there's so many other things. Because that's what Christians are pretty much known for, from skeptics and agnostics and, you know, pagans. They just think that Christians are just totally against homosexual marriage and abortion. And so I don't think it's a very good winsome way to
So what should we do, Kurt? Not say anything about it because there are some people who might think we're against it mistakenly.
Well, no, and I don't think it's that big of a deal to let gay people marry. It's just a minor issue. I don't think the distinction is very clear between marriage. I mean, you're going between a man and a woman. Well, if you take a biblical definition of it, it could be between a man and several women.
No, marriage was never between man and several women. Just because the Bible describes something that happened doesn't mean that it prescribed it. It was one of the things about the Bible that points out to me that they're telling the truth is the Bible does not sanitize all the evil things that many of its heroes did. And any other book that was trying to put forth a varnished view or a sort of a propagandist view of its leaders wouldn't do that.
Yeah, the other thing, Kurt, is, you know, from a biblical viewpoint, polygamy is almost always pictured in its negative results and the wrong things that happen as a result of multiple wives. But let me just throw something out to you, Kurt.
Okay.
This is not something I went looking for. This is something that comes knocking at our door. I'm not obsessed with this. Frank Turek's not obsessed with this. However, gay activists are obsessed with this because to them, this is their life. This is what they're fighting for. So virtually every day, there's something in the schools. There's something with what our kids are being taught. There's something coming from the media. There's something in the news. There's something in the Congress. There's something in the military. So we're being hit with this day and night. And Jesus says to us as his followers, you are the salt of the earth, which means a moral preservative and a moral conscience. You are the light of the world. So we have the responsibility to speak truth and to shine the light in the midst of this society. And when we're getting hit with this left and right, and you mentioned abortion as well, shedding of innocent blood is of massive importance. Massive importance. If that child is viewed as a human life by God is the most innocent victim out there, you're saying that we should take a back seat and let babies be slaughtered in the womb because skeptics are going to attack us for standing up for pro-life?
I do on that issue. If you're a Christian, babies go to heaven, so I would rather take.
So we should slaughter them all. Maybe
you're way off. Well, if I had a choice to be in a sure ticket to heaven or a chance of being born in an unchristian home where I'd probably end up in hell, I'd go ahead and take the abortion and just go straight to heaven myself.
Then what we ought to do then, though, is just be consistent. I mean, first, there's different Christian groups have different theology about babies going to heaven or not, but let's be consistent. Those same groups would say it applies to children or little children. So based on your logic, you would advocate the wholesale slaughter of all children under a certain age to guarantee that they all go to heaven. You would think that's a good position, whereas us standing against abortion is a bad position?
No, it's not a bad position. If anybody's willing to adopt children or also support the unborn in ways so the ones that aren't wanted have a better chance at a good life instead of being born.
Everyone I know that's in front of an abortion clinic, everyone I know with working in the pro-life movement is very happy to help the folks involved.
Yeah, and for those people, they're consistent, and I applaud their position on abortion.
Hey, Kurt,
if they're not doing it, if they're just standing up there and then applauding when their pastor tells them, abortion's bad, you know, I think that's a big problem, and I think a lot of
Kurt, I have three kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
I could go home right now and murder all three of them. But if am I justified in doing that if you don't agree to adopt them?
No, I think, well, another, you know, there's all these distinctions we have to make. What, you know, after they're out of the womb, then it's considered a child, and that depends on, I guess, at what point in during the pregnancy process you want to consider an abortion. I mean, they make that distinction all the time, first trimester, second trimester, whatever. So,
right, but here's the point. Right, here's the point, Kurt. Because skeptics and others criticize Christians for certain positions, and we become known for a certain thing, therefore we should step away from it. But so if, for example, in the days of slavery, Christians, especially in the North, became known as abolitionists, let's say the atheists said, all you are is against slavery, or let's say the few Christians that sought to rescue Jews during Nazi Germany, people said, you're just, that's what you're known for, Corrie ten Boom and these, you're just known for trying to rescue Jews. You should back away from that because it's hurting your Christian witness. We'd say, this is our Christian witness.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, what you need to understand is because marriage is the most fundamental union, because marriage is the most fundamental aspect of society, the foundation, building block for everything, when it gets destroyed, be it through adultery, be it through pornography, be it through no-fault divorce, be it through same-sex marriage, we speak up for marriage because we are followers of Jesus. We speak up for innocent babies in the womb because we're followers of Jesus. And Jesus already told us the world's going to hate us. So trust me, no one's going to come to Jesus more if I back away from abortion and back away from same-sex marriage.
I think they will. I mean, Christians,
well, they're coming to the wrong Jesus then, Kurt, because Jesus would be thoroughly involved in these fights.
Right. Christians have the same divorce rate as non-Christians do, so their example on that isn't very, very good.
Not ones that go to church regularly. Look at the new stats on that.
I suppose you can debate about that, but what's the population? 10% of the population is homosexual.
No, people who are already married. 3% or less. 3%.
Even if it was 97%, that wouldn't make something right. But
making marriage legal isn't going to change a whole lot. People who are gay are already living together anyway. It's not like
So why do they need marriage?
It's just going to change some of the legal aspects of it, what they can do after the one of them passes.
Well, how about what kids get taught in school, Kurt? How about what kids get taught in school? That now changes because if same-sex marriage is legal, then you can now teach. You have to teach now that kids can have two moms, two dads in the family. So if you say you live in Massachusetts and you have an issue with that, you're not allowed to pull your kid out of class. If the school is going to actively teach a pro-homosexual class, the parents will not be notified, and you are not allowed to pull your kindergarten kid out in Massachusetts. Why? Because the courts have ruled it's more important to teach, quote, diversity and pro-homosexual agenda in the school, so parents don't even have a right to know what their kids are being taught in kindergarten. And one reason is because of same-sex marriage. Hey, Kurt, I'm out of time, but thank you for calling in. I appreciate it, man. And I guess the biggest question, we just didn't have a time to get into it. What is a Christian agnostic or Christian atheist? Next time I talk to you, Kurt, fill me in on that one. Look, for both of us, we're involved in enough controversy. You're on college campuses talking about what kinds of issues?
I'm talking mostly about why we know Christianity's true.
Right. So you're talking about evolution.
Oh, sure.
You're talking about the Bible being God's word.
Yeah. Evidence for God. Yeah.
Right. So and morality.
And evil.
Right. So
why, if God, why suffering? These are the questions I'm dealing with all the time.
So you're dealing with the hot button, difficult, controversial questions. We didn't go looking for this. I did not. The research I had to do to write A Queer Thing Happened to America over a period of 6 years is some of the most difficult, painful research I've done. And my interaction with the homosexual community has sometimes brought me to tears of love for them. This is not a battle we look for. This is something that came knocking at our door. Hey, tell you what, when we come back, can we address briefly this idea of separation of church and state?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Here's the book you need to get. Correct, not politically correct. I'm holding it in my hand. I've read every word of it, had the privilege of reading it before it came out. Clearly argues all the basic points in 143 pages, including answering objections and an executive summary. You need it to be able to answer those that ask these serious questions. Your gift of any size to our ministry today will send you this book as a thank you. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, in the limited time that we have, Dr. Turek and I are going to dive into the subject of separation of church and state. Another one of these things that gets thrown at us, and often we don't have answers. You know, there's always the soundbite answer. It is freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. But there's so much ignorance on this. Again, this is something that my guest Frank Turek has thought through. His website, cross-examined, with a D, crossexamined.org, full of rich resources. You can also get links to his material, an article about his firing, at my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire for today's broadcast. All right, Frank, let's set the record straight about separation of church and state. First, how do many Americans wrongly understand it today? And then what does it really mean?
Well, we probably don't have enough time to get into where it originated from. Briefly, it originated from a 1947 court case called Everson versus Board of Education. The First Amendment does not say anything about separation of church and state. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion nor the free exercise thereof. It can't prohibit it, the free exercise thereof. But we're not talking about religion here. We're not talking about church and state. See, there's a difference, and this is the main difference people need to understand, the main distinction. There's a difference between religion and morality. Religion has to do with our duty to God. Morality has to do with our duty to one another. We're not telling people where, when, how, or if to worship. That would be legislating religion. But we can't avoid telling people how they ought to treat one another, and that's legislating morality. And all laws legislate morality. The only question is whose morality will be legislated. And I'm saying we ought not legislate my morality. We ought not legislate your morality. We ought to legislate the morality, the one Thomas Jefferson said was self-evident. He said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So this is not a separation of church and state issue, Mike. It's an issue of the difference between which morality are we going to impose legally, and all laws legislate morality. Every law declares one behavior right and the opposite behavior wrong. The question is, what should we impose legally? And both sides want to impose. The pro-same-sex marriage side wants to impose all the effects of same-sex marriage on the rest of the population. The natural marriage side, the traditional marriage side, wants to say that marriage is between a man and a woman because that is the procreative relationship that is the foundation of society. Both sides are trying to impose morality. The only question is whose morality. You know, there are some churches that are for same-sex marriage. And we never hear the other side saying, oh, we can't impose that because that would be a separation of church and state addition.
In fact, we hear
situation.
That used as an argument for same-sex
yes.
marriage, that, look, all these religious groups agree with it now.
That's right. That's right. So you can't have it both ways. And the way to just distinguish it is to say there's a difference between religion and morality. And we are legislating morality. We're not legislating religion.
What about the fact that in a democratic society that a Muslim or an atheist or a Hindu or a Christian or a religious Jew or a Buddhist, they may have different things that shape their moral views.
Sure.
Can they then vote accordingly?
You can vote for whatever reason you want to vote for a particular position. You can have religious reasons to vote for something. What you can't do in our country is to tell people that they have to be a member of a particular religion. You can vote and have any reason you want to support same-sex marriage or traditional marriage or to be for abortion or against abortion. You can have any reason you want.
So you can be a Muslim and say, I'd like to see polygamy in this country.
You can do that.
And as a candidate said, I'm going to fight for polygamy, you're free to do it. The founding fathers never countenanced that. I mean, quite the contrary.
Yeah.
They never countenanced that you couldn't bring your religious beliefs into your voting or into your personal convictions or whatever participation you can make in legislation.
In fact, they did it themselves. So, again, the distinction is between religion and morality. Look, you say, well, we can't legislate it because it's in the Bible. Hey, the Bible says we ought not murder, we ought not steal, we ought not rape. Should we not have laws against those things because they're in the Bible? No. Of course we should have laws against those things, even if they're in the Bible.
And in fact, biblical law was the source of much of the thinking of our founding fathers.
They quoted, their founding fathers quoted the Old Testament more than any other source when they were putting together the United States Constitution and the Federalist Papers and all their writings.
So you're on college campuses. You're in touch with what's happening with the younger generation. you have wide experience in the secular arena with leaders, with business. You've got a financial head on your shoulders. You look at America. Last 2 minutes of the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Is it too late for our country? Can America be turned?
Oh, anything's possible with God. If the church starts becoming the salt and light that it is called to be, yes, there's hope. I wrote a column a couple years ago on townhall.com called Country a Mess, Blame the Church.
Yeah.
We're the ultimate problem, Mike. I mean, people who are unbelievers are just doing what they find natural to them. We're supposed to be the salt and light. If we convince the church to stand up and be salt and light, this country can be saved. If we don't, as we say in New Jersey, forget about it.
Yeah, I remember that article. I think I quoted it on the air, and I've said many times, the greatest problem in America is not the presence of darkness. It is the absence of light.
Well said, yes.
What can folks find on your website, crossexamined.org?
They can find our schedule. They can find videos. They can find articles, blog entries, links to other great sites that will help them defend the historic Christian faith and also deal with some of these social issues like same-sex marriage, abortion, divorce, all these issues that that Christians have to stand up on.
And what about your two debates with Christopher Hitchens?
They can see them. They can see them on the website for free. They're on the homepage. Two debates with Christopher Hitchens on the existence of God.
And your book with Norm Geisler, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
They can get that too if they click on over to our other website. If they want to get the books, they just click on a link and it takes us to our other website where there's a whole number of resources up there, and that's called impactapologetics.com.
And then folks that want to take advantage of our special offer today and get your book, Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. What's unique about that is it argues things that we hold too dearly without quoting the Bible. What will people get from your book?
They will get answers to all the objections. First of all, they get reasons why natural marriage ought to be the only relationship recognized as marriage. They'll also get reasons why same-sex marriage ought not to be recognized. And then we deal with all the objections you always get. You know, what about equal rights? What about discrimination? What about being born that way? What about interracial marriage? All these objections you get. A separation of church and state. It answers them in a very succinct format.
All right, friends, we really want to get this book into your hands. So for your gift of any size, those who can be generous, that would help us immensely. Those who want to become monthly supporters, wonderful. But your gift of any size to the broadcast today, we'll send you postage paid, Correct, Not Politically Correct. But here's the number you need to call. Can't do this online. You've got to do this by phone. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 for your gift of any size. Ask for the book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Those who can be generous can help those who have less. Correct, Not Politically Correct. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line for today, to reemphasize what Frank Turek has said to us, the hope of America and the only hope of America is the church being the church. God's people taking hold of God's promises, God's people taking hold of God's ways, God's people turning from sin, God's people falling to their knees in repentance and faith, living differently and crying out to God to send revival. And again, the key to revival, do it individually. Draw a circle on the ground, get inside the circle and say, God, revive everything inside this circle.